The Virginia Coalition for Human Rights is the topic of our final panel. It's an extremely effective organization, and I'm not going to say anything about it other than introduce each speaker in turn and take your questions. Our first speaker from VCHR is Paul Norsey. He's been active with the Virginia Coalition for Human Rights since its founding in 2016. He's also active in several organizations working for peace and justice in the Middle East, including the Palestinian Christian Alliance for Peace, New Dominion PAC, the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, the Arab American Democratic Caucus of Virginia. He was also Barack Obama delegate to the Virginia State Convention in 2008, a Bernie Sanders delegate to the Virginia State Convention in 2016, and has served in various Get Out the Vote and Democratic campaigns. Norsey has lived and traveled extensively in the Middle East, including Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, and he has a BS in civil engineering, an MS in engineering management, and is a licensed and practicing civil engineer, with wide-ranging experience in land development, public works in Virginia, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. Please welcome Paul Norsey.
Thank you very much, Grant. Thanks, everyone, for being here, and thanks to the organizers for such a great event again this year. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Virginia Coalition for Human Rights and who we are and some of the activities we've participated in over the past couple of years. So how do I move the slides? Sorry. I'm not sure how to move to the next slide, but the first thing I wanted to talk about was as a background to the VCHR efforts, I would like to share a very inspirational quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was an activist against Nazism in World War II and ultimately paid for that with the ultimate price of his life. The quote is, "We are not simply to bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself." I believe that for positive investment to work, it should also be paired with direct actions such as divestment, boycotts, and sanctions to have a real effect. Yeah. BDS is putting the spoke in the wheels. The Virginia Coalition for Human Rights is a broad coalition of about 17 organizations right now, representing really over 10,000 Virginians if you count all of our member groups. And it includes a wide variety of organizations, including Jewish Voice for Peace, American Muslims for Palestine, the Palestine Christian Alliance for Peace, and other faith-based and secular peace and justice organizations. And we're always interested in getting more people and organizations involved, so if you're interested, please let us know or come to our table or check out our website, vchr.org. Here's a list of our member groups. I don't know if you can read all those, but those are also listed on our website. We first started in 2016 when we came together on an ad hoc basis when two anti-BDS motions were introduced in the Virginia General Assembly. HB 1282 would have punished people and organizations who support BDS for Palestinian human rights, and House Joint Resolution HJ 177 was a resolution that condemned and insulted the BDS movement. Many of us, including myself, were shocked at this sudden blitz attack on free speech rights of Virginians, and we quickly formed an ad hoc coalition, which eventually became the Virginia Coalition for Human Rights. 1282 was a pretty typical anti-BDS bill. It would have required, quote, state public bodies to include in every contract of more than $10,000 a provision stating that during the performance of the contract, the contractor agrees to not engage in the boycotting of Israel and will not contract or subcontract with any person or firm or corporation that engages in the boycotting of Israel. And it would have been applicable to all subcontractors and vendors. In other words, it was basically a loyalty oath wherein anyone or any corporation that wanted to do business with the state of Virginia would have to give up their constitutional rights for free speech. And we found that very offensive and unconstitutional. And we worked hard with the little time we had to organize against it. Once opposition to HB 1282 became evident, including our work, and the ACLU spoke out against it as well, the sponsors made amendments to it to try to claim that, okay, now it's a better bill, it doesn't really affect your rights. But what it would have still done was to create a blacklist of people and organizations who were suspected of supporting BDS. So we still opposed it. We organized, we pulled together the various groups who were interested in opposing it. We spoke out on social media. We attended meetings and hearings in the General Assembly. We also had an online letter writing campaign with the help of the US Campaign for Palestinian Rights. And we also used our personal contacts with some of the General Assembly members. Even after it was amended to a blacklist, we continued to oppose it, and finally our voices were heard, and it ultimately died in committee. So I think that was a victory, yeah. Now, HJ 177 was a resolution, not a bill. In other words, it wasn't a law, it was just a statement. But nevertheless, it had some false claims and it vilified people who support Palestinian human rights. And it ignored the fact that engaging in BDS to advance human rights is a time-honored tactic for people to seek justice. Unfortunately, many members of the General Assembly viewed that as a compromise between Israel affinity groups and free speech defenders and human rights activists, and they ended up voting for it and passing it. So you win some, you lose some, but we won the better one, which is the bill, which would have been a really egregious law if it was passed. So in 2016, we overall achieved, prevented a law from happening. They came back in 2017 and tried again. This time, they came with a bill called HB 2261, which would have amended the Virginia Human Rights Act to redefine anti-Semitism as including, quote, any discourse that demonizes or delegitimizes the policies and actions of the Israeli government. Unquote, yeah. And that's what they're trying to do in a lot of places, including Congress now. It also would have required the governing boards of public universities to issue policies prohibiting discrimination as defined in the amended Human Rights Act. We felt that this had to be opposed because, for many reasons, including one, it would single out one religious discrimination, anti-Semitism, over all others. It would have used an overly broad definition of anti-Semitism, and it would have stifled free speech by equating legitimate political opposition to Israel's policies and actions with anti-Semitism, and that was just wrong. So in 2017, we had a little bit of an easier time because we had already organized. In 2016, we were scrambling, really, to pull ourselves together. In 2017, we had the structure in place. We were able to, with advanced organization, we were able to organize a lobby day where we had about 21 members of our coalition go down to Richmond, General Assembly, and we had meetings with the offices of 37 delegates and senators, including many members of the House and Senate Rules Committees, which were vetting the bill. And our efforts again paid off. HB 2261 died in committee. So, yeah. So in 2018, they came back again with more legislation. In 2018, what they came up with was three bills that would give more power and independence to a part of the Virginia government, which is called the Virginia Israel Advisory Board, a very unusual board. Jim will talk about that a little more. And by the way, that board had been the one that would have, under the first bill in 2016, that board would have been the one to create the blacklist that they wanted to create. Didn't happen, but that's what they tried to do. So it was very suspicious that they wanted to give that board more independence and more power all of a sudden. And they also had a couple of bills just giving verbal accolades to Israel. All this while Israel happens to be one of the worst human rights offenders in the world, and also happens to be pushing legislation to suppress the free speech of Americans. So we opposed HB 1297 to give more power to the VIAB because we were concerned that the VIAB would use its expanded power to further an unsanctioned political mission of supporting Israeli interests over the best interests of Virginia citizens. Again, we organized, we wrote letters, we made personal contacts with state senators and delegates, and we again had a lobby day where we met with the offices of about 40 members of the House and Senate Rules Committees, which were vetting the bills. In this case, in 2018, there was actually a debate between the House and the Senate because they had introduced three bills to basically achieve the same thing, but in different ways. And we tried to weigh in, and we showed up at the meetings of the Rules Committee where it was being considered. In the end, there was a compromise bill which reorganized the VIAB under the General Assembly instead of the executive branch, instead of under the governor, which gives them a little more power, but is probably better than the full power and independence that they would have had under the original bill. So we also opposed the bills that were trying to just give accolades to the state of Israel, but those passed. But again, these are just resolutions. They are detrimental because they kind of create this mindset that in a lot of cases includes a lot of misinformation. But that's generally what we've been doing. We've also worked a little bit on Capitol Hill. We supported HR Betty McCollum's bill on a lobby day on Capitol Hill. In general, I just end up saying, quoting Einstein's call to action, the quote, the world, this is attributed to Albert Einstein, the world is a bit dangerous place to live, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it. To me, that's a call to action. This means being active, not just bandaging the wounds, but taking direct action to prevent injustice and human rights abuses from happening in the first place. Human rights abuses should not be rewarded, they should be punished. The best peaceful, nonviolent punishment option in the case of Israel-Palestine right now is boycotts, divestments, and sanctions. So BDS worked to peacefully end apartheid in South Africa, and we believe it can work to end apartheid and human rights abuses in Israel-Palestine, but we need to work on defending the rights of free speech in order to achieve that on the grassroots local level. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.